The Source at 105.7 FM, 910 AM, with your chance to speak out and be heard. Weekdays at 5 p.m. Spartanburg Source for Occupy the Microphone.
Oakview Medical Associates is committed to providing the highest quality of primary care possible. They take care of you and your family by creating caring relationships that last a lifetime. They listen to their patients, get to know them, and help them make informed healthcare decisions. Their focus is not just treating immediate and chronic problems, but they believe that preventing a health problem is better than having to overcome one. They help you make the right health choices to keep you and your family healthy. Dr. Nita Bijor, Physician's Assistant Lindsay Talo, and the entire medical staff at Oakview Medical Associates work as a team to get you healthy and keep you healthy. Located at 215 Batesville Road in Five Forks, Oakview Medical Associates can help you turn New Year's resolutions into concrete results. Visit Dr. Bijor online at oakviewmedicalassociates.com or call them at 864-627-0444. 215 Batesville Road in Five Forks, oakviewmedicalassociates.com or call them at 864-627-0444. It's that time of the year again. Time to get an estimate for lawn care. Give Fantastic Lawn Care a call at 864-787-1204, and they'll give you a free estimate. Aeration, fertilization, trimming shrubs, mulch, pine straw, tilling, bush hogging, and much more. And, of course, don't forget pressure cleaning. So give them a call at Fantastic Lawn Care, 864-787-1204. And if they don't pick up, leave them a message. They'll call you back. On February 14th, 2013, 1 billion people in 207 countries rose and danced to demand an end to violence against women and girls. On February 14th, 2014, we are escalating our efforts, calling on women and men everywhere to rise, release, dance, and demand justice. Gather and dance. South Carolina is consistently on the wrong end of the statistics when it comes to women. Beatings and murders happen all too often. For all of us, come dance as long as you're moved to dance. Bring music if you can. All music, all art, all people are welcome. Friday, February 14th at Daniel Morgan Square, 7 p.m. Celebrate Black History Month. Think2xtwice.org presents Our History Black, Sunday, February 16th, 2014. 6 p.m. at the Empowerment Zone, 775 Woodruff Road in Greenville, South Carolina. Get your tickets now at OurHistoryBlack.com. Be a corporate sponsor for this event. Great exposure for a great cause, only $50. Vendor spaces are also available for only $30. Contact Tracy Fant today at 864-325-3592 or visit the website think2xtwice.org.
Applause, hold applause, and drop your drawers. It's time for Occupy the Microphone. Occupy the Microphone is a Half-Step Productions program, and we alone are responsible for all the crazy and good things you'll hear on this show today. Occupy the Microphone is your source for opinionated opinions and witty commentary. Hey, we are talk radio for the 99%. You can hear us live at 5 on the Source, 910 AM, 105.7 FM in upstate South Carolina, and on the Internet. Thanks for joining us. Now let's get this party started on today's show. Robotic planes with ability to choose and kill targets on their own. Stay tuned, call all your friends, and wait until we open the lines. Then you can also occupy the microphone here live at 5.
Back up the track, this train's got to run today. I spent a little time on the mountain, spent a little time on the hill. I'd some say better run away, others say better stand still. Now, I don't know, but the way to go. All the men I heard him said, it's just as hard with the weight of lead.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to Occupy the Microphone, our fabulous Thursday edition with our special guest here, Ethio One Gaza.
Uhura.
Yeah, I decided to do you first this time because usually I wait till the very end, and I'm a rude hostet, as I believe Rush Limbaugh says. I won't say that anymore then. I am Daisy Deadhead from DaisyDeadhead.com, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host at Occupy the Microphone, Double A.
This is Double A, the rock and roll diehard.
And the Carolina Consigliere, the ever flamboyant, gorgeous Greg.
Hey, y'all.
And we're going to talk about a bunch of different stuff today. And I think the idea of what? These aren't the same as the drones that can deliver your tacos and stuff, is it? Because that's what Medea Benjamin was talking
about. If they can identify who gets the taco, I guess they can identify who needs to get killed,
right,
too.
Right, right, right. The thing is, how would you keep them from stealing your tacos out of the drone?
You know, are they going to eat them?
I was thinking, they used to say that the police dogs knew who to go after, too, except that they only always went after the people of color.
Mm-hmm.
So if they couldn't program a police dog to chase the right person, I would not trust them to program a robot to know who to go after. Besides which, I don't think that they know who to go after in the first place, which is the reason that the United States winds up spending so much time engaged in death activities.
And we did go a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was about a week ago, to see Medea Benjamin, one of the co-founders of Code Pink, and Ethio was there. It was a great information session. I wish more people had been there. But it was pretty, it did catch up short. It was very intense. One of the questions I asked was about the people who actually do this. I can't imagine, you know, going down there and, you know, messing with getting a silo, killing somebody during the day, going home, going to your daughter's clarinet recital or whatever. That blows my mind a lot. I guess I understand war as an activity where everybody goes over to another place and everybody gets involved there. The idea that we can actually have remote controlled war
cold-blooded killers?
Yes, cold-blooded killers. Because, you know, one of the things that's interesting is one of the things about war is that it is by its nature, usually, in most cases, not, of course, in, you know, pilots and such, but most of the time, and this is what her book said in more detail, and her book is called Drone, oh goodness, Drone, I forget, but I have it on my table. Yeah, it's a great book. The chapter about the people.
Drone warfare.
Yes. And the thing about it is, when you're in a hot-blooded war situation, everything's all, you know, everybody's pulse is running and everybody's all feverish. And so when you commit a crime, a war crime, in that circumstance, you feel justified. Even if you were not, you feel justified because you were so scared and you were so freaked out and you were in the middle of something. And so you think, oh, well.
You were so unprofessional.
Exactly. But when you're far away, there's no such stories you can tell yourself. There's no such comfort you can give yourself because you were in your comfort of this nice cushy chair. Nobody was, you weren't scared. Your heart wasn't beating fast that somebody's going to get you first. And so that they have a lot more lies. They have to tell themselves a lot more psychological problems because basically they have to tell themselves the people they're following, who they may follow for days, weeks. That's the other difference.
Yeah.
Regular war was not like that. You did not meet the enemy and follow them around for a couple of weeks. I mean, you didn't, you know, without them knowing, you know, finding out who their kids are and their spouses and their parents. And one of the stories she told us just made my blood run cold was that there was a guy that they were following. He went to sit down with several other people. He had been designated as a militant. They knew his name. But then he sat down with four other people. It was a good, clear shot. They knew they could get him. And what they said about these other four, like he said, but I don't know who these four people were. They could have been anybody. They could have been his cousins. They could have been his friends. They could have been his schoolmates that he was having a reunion with. He didn't know squat. He sat down with four other people. But that guy was a good, clean Target. When he sat down at that cafe outside, they thought, let's go. They gave the order. And when they wrote up the report, they said they got five militants, not one. What it was with one militant, with four of his unknown, unmarked, unnamed friends. And then they went in and they decided, let's just change it around. So now we got five. Don't we sound
That's
like we're heroes?
It looks like that general in Vietnam who sued Mike Wallace, Westmoreland. But, you know, the United States is an ongoing criminal enterprise. So why anyone expects it to behave in any kind of ethical, credible, life-affirming manner always amazes me. It is the biggest bully on the planet. In fact, as Martin Luther King pointed out, it is the most violent force on the planet. And anybody who's going to talk about violence, interpersonal violence, violence between young people and not talk about the role model from the U.S. president having killed this Tuesdays in the White House to these drones that cannot be used in any kind of ethical way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're exactly right. These can't. And I think this is part of why they developed these, is because they're trying to take ethics out of the picture altogether. If the drones, and this is actually a British designed weapon, mm-hmm. and they're the manufacturers, but as Medea said, the Israelis manufacture drones, the Italians manufacture drones, there are lots of different companies,
countries that
make drones, and if they can figure out how to make an unmanned drone that is ostensibly capable of making a decision about who to kill in England, you can rest assured that all these other countries are going to develop drones that do the same thing. And I think that what they're trying to do is they're trying to eliminate the human element, not just in terms of making the decision to strike, which maybe they're having more trouble with that than we're being made aware of. Maybe more people are refusing to pull the trigger and kill people with these bombs from these drones than we're aware of. And I also think they're probably looking for a more and more mechanized army so that eventually, I mean,
absolutely,
the most expensive, the least profitable, I was going to say the most expensive, but that's not right. The least profitable part of our military-industrial complex is the actual soldier, him or herself.
And they might actually cost you money later because they get hurt.
Yeah, I think that you've hit it. In fact, that is my thinking across the board, that the objective is ultimately to reduce the need for human beings. For a number of reasons, and not the least of which is people reaching levels of conscience that does not allow them to participate in this criminality.
Well, wasn't it Prince William who's in the army in England who was flying a plane, dropping bombs, and he said to him, it's like a computer game. He's dropping bombs on people. That's like a computer game. People's lives are being destroyed, killed, their families. For centuries, for generations, they'll remember this. So some prince dropped a bomb and killed my uncle.
Well, you know what? I come from such conspiracy theory people. The yippies would have asked, you know what my yippie friends would have said? Well, what did you think they designed those video games for, unless they were trying to prepare people so that they could?
And the other part of it is the reflection. It reflects on the fact that the Western standard of humanity is white, male, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, and any deviation from that is an inferior being. You know, they want to make Hitler out to be such a nightmare. But the truth of the matter is that Hitler was just articulating what the mutually defined norm for Western society, I deliberately don't use the word civilization, is, and he was an embarrassment. He embarrassed the West in that regard. So for the average person who has been programmed to view the quote-unquote other the non-white as less than human, it's less of an issue. I was surprised when Medea pointed out the fact that watching, being able to see someone's face and to be able to and have followed them around, that that actually made a difference. I frankly don't, I can see to some extent that it could, but I am disinclined to agree with that given the level of dehumanization and demonization programming that people engaged in this bullying activity or subjected to.
There is a science fiction story long ago. Vonda McIntyre, I believe, was the author. But you just reminded me of it. I'm like, well, you know, because I read so much science fiction when I was young, and most of it's come true by now. One of those things is somebody didn't want to do this, and they gave them drugs until they could. And of course, we've arrived there, haven't we? Because if you have any conscience, you're depressed, they give you drugs until you can. And yet it seems terrifying when I read it, 25, 30 years ago, and now I'm thinking, hey, we've arrived, because anybody with a conscience, they will exterminate it.
Well, anybody with a conscience wouldn't go into the U.S. military anyway. Excuse me. Think about what the British are having to pay to Kenyan descendants of Kenya's colonial empire in Kenya, where they put spiders and rammed guns and shot off weapons inside of women's vaginas. Mm-hmm. The good tea-drinking, stiff upper lip, well-behaved British. So the brutality of Europeans towards people of color is historic. Mm-hmm. And it in some ways, I guess having a robot is an improvement.
Well, keep in mind, that's who they're trying to get for the military, because they know that, like you call it, the economic draft. More and more they're getting, you know. And, of course, the other thing is offering Latino citizenship if they will be in the military.
Oh, it enrages me.
Yeah, it's bad.
That Latinos would even allow that to be a part of the equation.
Mm-hmm. Well, the military has served as a way out for poor people and people of color for a long time, but
right.
It's I remember watching an episode of The Waltons not that long ago where a black man in his, I would guess, late teens or early 20s went off to fight, and this was during World War II, and his mother and father were lying in bed. And the mother looks at the father and says, "Do you suppose he'll be okay? Do you think they'll treat him fair?" And he said, "As fair as anywhere else in America." And I thought that was telling, not only because it implied, even if it didn't out and out say it, it implied that things were not always fair in America for black folks. And number two, it implied, if it didn't out and out say, that the military was not, in fact, a perfect place where black folks and Latino folks could go and find safety and security. And I have a feeling that our friends in the gay community are going to find that the same is true.
Absolutely.
For them once they begin joining the military and serving openly, as they have every right to do. I think that there are – listen, guys, there are people who are in the armed forces to this day, white generals who believe that black soldiers should not rise above sergeant. And those people are not going to go away anytime soon. I mean, they're in the system. They're in the pipeline. They're going to be in the pipeline until they're worm food.
Mm-hmm. And, well, hey, it's the U.S. military, the world's biggest bully. And the Buffalo Soldiers are not – and the Tuskegee Institute, Flying Airmen are a disgrace, not an honor. Mm.
Where do you turn to promote your business, group, or cause? Radio advertising is one of the most cost-effective ways to get your message out to folks who are interested in what you have to offer, and Occupy the Microphone is in a unique position to help you reach those people. Because we are the only local talk radio program in the upstate focused on local, national, and international news with a 99% perspective, we draw listeners from the Tea Party all the way to Occupy Wall Street types. Now, we are offering you a chance to reach our listeners for as little as $5. Visit OccupyTheMicrophone.com now and click on the GoFundMe banner to learn more. This is not a gift, but a chance to buy advertising on one of the upstate's best talk shows with an audience filled with interesting and interested people. So visit OccupyTheMicrophone.com and click on the GoFundMe banner today and talk to our listeners tomorrow. Do you know someone who wants to change the world for the better? Is that you? If it is, then PatJobe.com is the place on the internet where you need to spend some time every week. Writer, preacher, thinker, and advocate Pat Job has created a hangout for folks who want to help him save the world. It's as simple as being who you are and letting others be who they are. So visit PatJobe.com and get yourself a big helping of thought and action today. Dr. Melissa Aiken-Tate is a faith-based natural health educator and counselor focused on extreme pain relief, body repair, and healing programs. Arthritis pain, sports and accidental injuries, earaches, painful stiff neck, wrinkle repair, headaches, and migraines. Dr. Melissa Aiken-Tate's new office location is 405 South Pine Street, Spartanburg, South Carolina, inside the All-Star Realty Building. Or call Dr. Melissa Aiken-Tate for a private appointment at 864-804-4099.
And we are back with Occupy the Microphone. You're listening live at 5 with AA, the Rock and Roll Diehard, the Undisputed Maven of Talk Radio, Daisy Deadhead.
That's me.
The Carolina Consigliere, the ever flamboyant, gorgeous Greg.
Hey, y'all.
And our special guest today, Afia Wangadza.
Uhuru.
What are cheese eaters?
Cheese eaters yeah. are rank opportunists who will do absolutely positively anything to be on camera, on mic, the center of attention. Ah. Talk about vanity journalism.
Mm-hmm. I like cheese.
Cheese eaters.
Well, I guess that means like you go to the wine and cheese dinner and you're feted and stroked and told how wonderful you are at the cheese event. So I figure that's where they got it.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. At the less polite characterization is brown noser.
I see. Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to talk now. We're going to revisit a story that we talked about a little while back on Occupy the Microphone, and that is the fact that one of Edward Snowden's revelations let us know that the Food and Drug Administration. Good Lord, Greg. The National Security Administration has, as we all know, been spying on everybody all the time about everything. And as they were doing this, occasionally they would run across a tidbit that had something to do with illegal narcotics trafficking. And they would then find ways to get this information to prosecutors. And once the prosecutors began to realize that they had information that had been obtained illegally, and that is what they were using to help them in the prosecution of these drug defendants, they began a process of creating a scenario that would explain how they happened to come by the information, not based on reality, but based on how they could have imagined that it would have come down. Now we have a report from Bruce Dixon at the Black Agenda Report Radio, and we're going to play that in just a few moments, and Bruce is going to give us an explanation of how the NSA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and local law enforcement are working with each other to establish credible deniability for their criminal behavior in spying on all of us with no reason whatsoever. So if someone will meander around and talk for about 30 seconds, I can get over my computer and push play.
Oh, well, you know, one thing I wanted to point out was called attention to things. That is the way drugs wind up being the number one drug in this country, as heroin is, and the relationship between those the drugs and where the United States happens to be at war. So, of course, now Afghanistan is the big war sites and the home of heroin. So now the streets of the United States are being flooded with heroin. I wonder how it got here.
And heroin kills. Heroin's a deadly drug. You know, won't we ever learn? I know people have been, I know some big stars have been killed, and probably a lot of other people too, back in the 40s from heroin, 50s, 60s, 70s, even. I mean, now it's still going on. Just a few days ago, this past weekend, a big star died of heroin. Well, I mean, most people.
And they're looking to see if it's tainted, and I said that first.
Well,
yeah, I'm just saying.
It's too pure. That's the problem.
Right. Well, I think, you know what I think. Never mind. I won't get into my conspiracy theories today.
Daisy thinks L. Ron Hubbard killed him.
Well, L. Ron Hubbard's dead. No, this Church of Scientology. The Church of Scientology, I believe, did not like their leader being portrayed in a very unkind way by Mr. Hoffman, and I think they went after him because
they've got people who are up and down the East Coast who have been dying of heroin, and it's not new. Mm-hmm. That's the pattern.
True. Too pure, exactly.
So,
killed
but
young
the thing
black
that
man,
is
nobody
new
care.
Is get rounding up the drug dealers and parading them before the cameras. And, you know, where are the drug dealers who sold Whitney Houston the cocaine?
Sure, yeah. Well, also, I mean, if we're going to get like that, let's, you know, Big Pharma is a drug dealer.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to play this audio now from Bruce Dixon at Black Agenda Radio. And this commentary is about 4 minutes long. So y'all listen up. I think that you'll find it to be informative. And this is played with Bruce's permission from blackagendareport.com.
One of the least remarked upon chunks of Edward Snowden's voluminous revelations about government spying on civilians has been the fact that the Drug Enforcement Administration, the federal police agency created to fight the war on drugs, has funneled illegal NSA surveillance to local police agencies around the country. New disclosures now allow us to see online the actual DEA training materials with which Drug Enforcement Administration agents are taught to coach local police departments across the country how to lie about their chains of evidence and sources, how to willfully violate the law, and cover their tracks in thousands or tens of thousands of cases every year to fill the cells of the U.S. prison state with drug defendants. This is not hype. This is not exaggeration. It's the literal truth. You can read the DEA's own manuals online at muckrock.org, spelled muckrock.org. Muckrock.org is a project funded by the Sunlight Foundation to assist journalists and citizens in the making and dissemination of the results of Freedom of Information Act requests from federal, state, and local governments. Thanks to one such recent request, you can now go to the muckrock.org site and view copies of the DEA's own training materials. These materials depict an amoral, out-of-control police regime respecting no constitution and no laws. DEA agents are told that the evidence is unconstitutionally obtained and that this must be concealed from prosecutors, judges, and above all from the public, some of which is under the quaint notion that there are laws even cops and prosecutors must obey. The manuals cynically spell out how DEA agents must coach local police departments to use what they know is illegally obtained information in order to construct false chains of evidence. This is not exaggeration. This is not hype. This is a smoking gun that depicts how the intelligence apparatus seamlessly blends with federal and local cops to prosecute the 40 years failed war on drugs, the greedy front end of the U.S. prison state. There have been plenty of African American voices who have poo-pooed the significance of Edward Snowden and his revelations. Black TV talking heads like Joyanne Reed and Melissa Harris Perry have called him a traitor and said he ought to be locked up. Congressional buffoons like Representative Jim Clyburn say he only did it to embarrass the black president. And others insist that his whistleblowing has nothing to do with black life as we live it. But chronic over-policing only happens to black and brown people, and chiefly the poorest of those. Black and brown people are the majority of drug defendants, charged with stiffer offenses and giving longer sentences than white drug defendants. Illegal surveillance turned into illegal evidence, backed up by an officially condoned web of lies about how that evidence was obtained, have long been a crucial element in the unfolding of the prison state to enclose poor black and brown communities. If Edward Snowden hadn't told us the NSA was gathering this evidence and the DEA was using it, we'd never have known. So if Snowden is indeed a traitor, he betrayed the cops, not us. If he is a spy, he's spying for the people, not for the prison state, which is a big problem for some of our black misleadership class. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Bruce Dixon. Find us on the web at www.blackagendareport and view the DEA manuals or make your own Freedom of Information Act requests through muckrock.org at muckrock.org.
That was really good. I got to tell y'all, if I hear Melissa Harris Perry trash Snowden one more time, I'm going to flip my cookies. I expect Joanne Reed, we were just talking about her, because she obviously went to Harvard with Obama, and they're all tight with each other, because she is right there with bells on to defend him like clockwork every single time anything happens at all, including this most recent
they're
thing.
They're an embarrassment.
I know.
They are a total embarrassment, intellectual, ahistorical, apolitical. Talk about, what was it that we were saying about cheese eaters?
Mm-hmm. Are we talking Parmesan here, or are we talking cottage?
Cottage of the lowest grade, brown.
Melissa Harris Perry is a professor at Tulane.
I wouldn't care if she were a professor at, she was Jesus Christ or Mother Mary. She is a disgrace.
Yeah. Yeah, she's really been hard on Snowden. And in fact, Glenn Greenwald even did a piece where he named her and said, you know, why are you, you know, somebody who's been as vocal in trying to keep, you know, find out about the surveillance state, but she's taken the line, the official MSNBC line.
Criminal.
Yeah.
She's criminal. And her personal careerism, mm-hmm. She's engaging in criminal collaboration with the yellow journalist press, dog whistle politics.
Yes.
Where they're talking in code and laying the foundation for all kinds of abuses against the entire society and the planet. She's a disgrace.
But tell us how you really feel. All right. Well, I believe that we're about to wander ourselves off to a commercial break. We will be right back. And if you would like to give us a call, now is the right time to do so. 864-751-0116.
Occupy the Microphone is talk radio for the 99% here on The Source, 105.7 FM and 910 AM from 5 to 6 weekday afternoons. To advertise, call 803-984-5414 or email info@occupythemicrophone.com. Occupy the Microphone is a Half Step Productions program. It's all on us, people. No one else is calling the shots. The inmates are in charge. It's panic in the streets. Occupythemicrophone.com. Oakview Medical Associates is committed to providing the highest quality of primary care possible. They take care of you and your family by creating caring relationships that last a lifetime. They listen to their patients, get to know them, and help them make informed healthcare decisions. Their focus is not just treating immediate and chronic problems, but they believe that preventing a health problem is better than having to overcome one. They help you make the right health choices to keep you and your family healthy. Dr. Nita Bijor, Physician's Assistant Lindsay Taylor, and the entire medical staff at Oakview Medical Associates work as a team to get you healthy and keep you healthy. Located at 215 Batesville Road in Five Forks, Oakview Medical Associates can help you turn New Year's resolutions into concrete results. Visit Dr. Bijor online at oakviewmedicalassociates.com or call them at 864-627-0444. 215 Batesville Road in Five Forks, oakviewmedicalassociates.com or call them at 864-627-0444. It's that time of the year again, time to get an estimate for lawn care. Give Fantastic Lawn Care a call at 864-787-1204 and they'll give you a free estimate. Aeration, fertilization, trimming shrubs, mulch, pine straw, tilling, bush hogging, and much more. And of course, don't forget pressure cleaning. So give them a call at Fantastic Lawn Care, 864-787-1204. And if they don't pick up, leave them a message. They'll call you back. On February 14, 2013, 1 billion people in 207 countries rose and danced to demand an end to violence against women and girls. On February 14, 2014, we are escalating our efforts, calling on women and men everywhere to rise, release, dance, and demand justice. Gather and dance. South Carolina is consistently on the wrong end of the statistics when it comes to women. Beatings and murders happen all too often. For all of us, come dance as long as you're moved to dance. Bring music if you can. All music, all art, all people are welcome. Friday, February 14th at Daniel Morgan Square, 7 p.m.
And we are back with Occupy the Microphone. We are thrilled today to be joined by our special guest, Afia Wangaza. And right at this moment, we have a caller on the line. Caller, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Scotty calling from North Carolina.
Hello, Scotty.
Hey, quick quote. I'm a paraphrase something Malcolm X says, and this goes back to your talking heads, your so-called political pundits on mainstream media. Mm-hmm. And Malcolm X said that media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. And he goes on to say it'll make the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent. And that's what's going on, what they're doing to Edward Snowden, to make him out to be the villain and to make the actual villains like the United States government to be innocent. And so, you know, that has always gone on in this country with the mainstream media. FBI documents show how the CIA and the FBI planted, quote-unquote, journalists with these mainstream media corporations to demonize black liberation fighters of the time and other people on the left who were against the Vietnam War. So this is nothing new. This is a tactic that has been going on for decades. Part about what y'all just played from Black Agenda.
Anniversary of the murder of Trayvon Martin, and there's a national campaign to do a number of things, one of which is to encourage a day of outrage and a day of remembrance across the country in local actions. And we've invited Tracy Fant to join us in this campaign, so we're hoping that that she'll take us up on that invitation. Further, nationally is a video project, February 26th video project, that is sponsored by the Stop Mass Incarceration Now campaign. So the object is to get people to do 30 to 60 second videos making statements of their feelings of outrage and their memories of what they thought and felt when they heard initially about the murder of Trayvon Martin. And those videos can be sent to stopmassincarcerationnow@gmail.com, which will go up on a national collage. So, and that's something that can be done on people's smartphones and upload it so that we can reach our goal, which is a million people participating. Also, at the Stop Mass Incarceration website is the official call, invitation to action, hoodies up on February 26th, and we're asking everybody to wear a hoodie and to put it on in remembrance of Trayvon and as an expression of outrage of police, of government bullying, and the impunity that they enjoy as a result of it, or in despite it.
Think2xtwice.org presents Our History Black, Sunday, February 16th, 2014, 6 p.m. at the Empowerment Zone, 775 Woodruff Road in Greenville, South Carolina. Get your tickets now at OurHistoryBlack.com. Dr. Melissa Aiken-Tate is a faith-based natural health educator and counselor focused on extreme pain relief, body repair, and healing programs. Arthritis pain, sports and accidental injuries, earaches, painful stiff neck, wrinkle repair, headaches, and migraines. Dr. Melissa Aiken-Tate's new office location is 405 South Pine Street, Spartanburg, South Carolina, inside the All-Star Realty Building. Or call Dr. Melissa Aiken-Tate for a private appointment at 864-804-4099. Think2xtwice.org presents Our History Black, Sunday, February 16th, 2014, 6 p.m. at the Empowerment Zone, 775 Woodruff Road in Greenville, South Carolina. Get your tickets now at OurHistoryBlack.com.
A good evening. Do not attempt to adjust your radio. There is nothing wrong. We have taken control as to bring you this special show. We will return it to you as soon as you are grooving. Welcome to station WEFUNK, better known as We Funk, or deeper still, the Mothership Connection, home of the extraterrestrial brothers, dealers of funky music, P-Funk, Uncut Funk, The Bomb.
And we are back with Occupy the Microphone. You're listening live at 5 with AA, the Rock and Roll Diehard, the Undisputed Maven Talk Radio, DayZ Deadhead.
Yeah.
The Carolina Consigliere, Gorgeous Greg.
Hey, y'all.
And we are just thrilled today to be joined by our special guest, Afia Wangaza.
Uhuru. Uhuru is a Swahili word which means freedom, popularized by the group, the Kenyan Land and Freedom Army, or commonly known as the Mau Mau. Uhuru.
But in Columbus, Ohio, it was the Uhuru Dance Collective. Uh-huh. And I always expect somebody to start dancing. Let's have some parties.
You keep doing
parties.
That every time I use that term, I want you to stop.
Okay,
that.
I will.
Because it's a very serious.
I know.
Word. Used for a very serious purpose.
But do you remember when Uhuru was used very frequently in the 70s for lots of things, and the word seemed everybody
and
knew what it meant.
It was always political,
yes.
And it was always serious.
Yes, it was.
And even when it was the name of a dance,
dance
group,
collective, true.
It was for the purposes of reclaiming and reconstructing.
Amen.
And asserting the humanity of African people from under the boot of Western imperialism. So I don't
yeah.
want you to
true. Okay.
To do that anymore.
Okay, I will not do that anymore.
Thank you.
I still wish we go back to where everybody knew what you didn't have to explain what it meant.
Oh, well.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Is that we all knew it because they would tell us, like you just did. They would, they dance and they tell us.
The more we use it, the less...
Right,
necessary
right.
explanation.
And so, that my point is, what happened to all the cool collectives and all the cool stuff that we used to have? Well, and I sounds like an old person, but still.
Well, I mean, it is important, though, for people to understand, our younger listeners, that things were, in fact, actually different in the 1970s.
Oh, yes.
I've talked with people. My own daughter, who's in her late 20s, has asked me, Dad, what should I do about this injustice that's been done to me? You know, got getting a shoddy repair job at a car, you know, at a car repair place, or being jerked around by a landlord or something of this sort. And I said, well, believe it or not, darling, at one time you could actually go and find a lawyer who worked for a government agency who would help you mm-hmm. if you had a hard time with your landlord. There was a time when you could send your kid after school and they would go to a city park, and there would be a city employee who was in that city park who could read to your children,
or
teach your children how to play games.
Today those
resources aren't being spent on human beings anymore.
I did a piece on that charlatan, that guy on TV from Passages Malibu, what he didn't tell you, the guy, Chris Prentice, who said, I'm not an addict anymore. I used to be. Now I'm not. Well, that'll cost you $67,000 a month. And that was in 2008. I do not know the numbers now. That was 5 years ago. How much does it cost now to go to Passages Malibu? Well, think about it. Anyway, I did a piece on my blog, and I continually get these people who come onto my blog and say, well, you know, any place you go for treatment's going to cost you money. And I have to, excuse me, do you know in the 70s there used to be these
right.
things?
All
there
over
used
the place.
To be
free
these
clinics.
Things called Regional Alcoholism Center, and right. the drunk yeah. tank, it was known as, and they'd pick you up off the sidewalk and take people to treatment, and they didn't have to pay. These kids don't even know that anymore.
Well, what's worse is that we allowed those services to be dismantled.
Oh, absolutely.
Without comment. And the most recent outrage being where you have the Greenville City Council voting, including the two black councilwomen, it's over $800,000 to put more cops, guns, and cameras downtown.
Wow.
As they close the community centers at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and wonder how come kids wander into downtown, not to mention enjoy their parents' tax money that's being spent to beautify and gentrify downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But
good
there
point.
Was a time as
Greg
mentions, I wasn't sure about that.
That's okay.
Gorgeous.
That's okay.
Mentioned that a city council person would never have thought of spending nearly $1 million to exclude young people rather than serving them and creating a nurturing environment in order to train them for jobs, help them to get through school, or to learn how to operate in a healthy, life-affirming kind of way. So while all of these things have changed, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is, where were we when the coercion, bullying was institutionalized on a national scale?
Well, I can tell you that in terms of gutting the alcoholism programs, that all happened under Bill Clinton.
So,
yeah.
So that, and the first
I mean,
black
just
president,
saying.
Right?
Right.
So
I'm that, just, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, as a white man, I was so insulted when people started saying that. I was like, really? You're gonna lay that on the black community?
Well,
they got to claim Bill Clinton.
You can imagine how I felt.
Oh, exactly.
Black woman.
I'm sure. Exactly.
Please.
Exactly. Like, what? Really?
Of course,
this
I'm
guy?
Not really. I'm not impressed with
the actual
Barack
black
Obama's,
president, right?
Well, you know, black, excuse me, black is really, it's not biological, it's political. So we still have yet to have a black president.
I can't believe you say that stuff. You blow my mind.
So,
I love
you know,
it.
When
I
we
love
get,
it.
Get around to having a black president, we'll actually find out that it'll be a person who is representing the interests of the people,
mm-hmm.
Black, white, red, yellow, and brown, as opposed to just Wall Street.
Amen.
Let me ask you
Amen.
A question.
Preach it.
I've been thinking about, well, actually, I've completely forgotten about what I was thinking.
You do that a lot. You do that a lot.
I do that a lot. Yeah. I have 1 minute left.
It's not contagious.
Then it gets 1 minute left. Then
Well, we're going to talk for less than a minute about environmental racism and structural racism. And there is an article online, I believe it's at Truthout, that deals with this issue. And the reason that it struck me as being something particularly pertinent was because right now it's not just environmental racism, but it's also environmental classism. When they build dangerous stuff, they build it on the wrong side of the tracks. It just happens to be that black and brown folks are more often on the wrong side of the track than white folks are. But if you're poor and white and you're on the wrong side of the tracks, you're still going to build a garbage plant in your neighborhood. We've now got 300,000 people in West Virginia, the vast majority of them poor, unable to drink their tap water.
Oh, God, that's so bad.
Unable to shower in their tap water. We've now got Duke Energy dumping coal ash into a river in North Carolina, and now that's flowing into Virginia.
Right.
So we're just messing up all over the place.
And we're not. They are.
That's right.
Thank you.
I'm not claiming any of that.
That's what I mean. I love when you say that stuff.
We're the recipients of this bad behavior.
That's right. And mm-hmm.
They're doing it to us.
The question is why, what does it ultimately take for it to be enough for us that we rise up? I wanted to say about
Are we out of time?
And that is that the United States has always spied on the people, whether it was in the name of the king or it has been in the name of the government.
See you tomorrow. Occupy the microphone.
Live at 5.
Uhuru.
Celebrate Black History Month. Think2xTwice.org presents Our History Black, Sunday, February 16th, 2014, 6 p.m. at the Empowerment Zone, 775 Woodruff Road in Greenville, South Carolina. Get your tickets now at OurHistoryBlack.com. Be a corporate sponsor for this event. Great exposure for a great cause, only $50. Vendor spaces are also available for only $30. Contact Tracy Fant today at 864-325-3592 or visit the website think2xtwice.org. On February 14th, 2013, 1 billion people in 207 countries rose and danced to demand an end to violence against women and girls. On February 14th, 2014, we are escalating our efforts, calling on women and men everywhere to rise, release, dance, and demand justice. Gather and dance. South Carolina is consistently on the wrong end of the statistics when it comes to women. Beatings and murders happen all too often. For all of us, come dance as long as you're moved to dance. Bring music if you can. All music, all art, all people are welcome. Friday, February 14th. At Daniel Morgan Square, 7 p.m.
The Source at 105.7 FM, 910 AM.